We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 again, kind of part 2, which I think is part 2 of 4 parts as we consider how the church functions and how the Lord works through his human instruments that he has united together in the body of Christ. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 7 through 11, so please give your attention to God's word once more. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your blessing upon the reading and the preaching of your word. As you have revealed, your word speaks Christ, is about Christ and his church and the redemption he's purchased and how we are now to live. And so we pray that you would open up our hearts to long to receive your word and your truth. We pray that you might give us soft hearts to be molded by your spirit as you reveal yourself to us through these ordinances. Lord, we would be helpless without your spirit's enabling, without him applying your truth to us and illuminating it to our minds and our hearts. And so we beg and we plea for you to work in us this morning. And we pray this in the name of Christ, our Savior and King. Amen. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin if you would like to follow along. Peter makes this bold statement in verse 7, and he says, the end of all things is at hand. And when he says that, he's stating something true about us, and that truth, it must drive the way we live. And it changes the game of our lives and how the church functions. The end of all things is at hand. Christ is risen and reigning. He's reigning at God's right hand. And Christ will return for the resurrection and the judgment. That is the next event that we expect in human history and redemptive history. And we are waiting for him to return. And these truths must transform, as we considered last week, our thinking. These truths of the reigning Christ must change our thinking to always be self-controlled and sober-minded, that we might pray to him. Pray for the quick coming of Christ. Pray for his protection and his provision. And since we've been redeemed by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we who have been united to Christ must love one another. And as we considered last week, that love is demonstrated by covering a multitude of sins with a willingness to forgive and a heart that is not easily offended. Last week, we considered how the reality of this age wherein Christ is reigning, having purchased an accomplished redemption, how it should transform and affect our head and our hearts. And this morning, we're going to consider how the reigning Christ also transforms the work of our hands. Christ is our King, but Christ, it resides in heaven at God's right hand. And until he returns, he supports and he protects the church using human instruments. That's kind of a big way of saying using us, using his saints, using believers in his church. In other words, Christ cares for the church using us. And as he reigns, he gives us gifts to do his work in the church. And so we should consider ourselves to be his hands. And so we must learn how Christ calls us to use our hands for the good of the church and for his glory and the glory of the Father. So today we're going to consider the theology of the hands of Christ in the church. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we're going to look at the activity of the hands of Christ. But before we actually get busy, we need to understand how the Lord would have us be used and how the Lord uses us. We're going to learn about how the way that Christ equips believers to do his work. In short, what he does is he gives gifts, specifically spiritual gifts, to each believer in the church. And before we consider some of those gifts and itemize those a little bit next week, we're going to stop this week and consider four truths about these gifts so that we might be more equipped to serve Christ as he has called us. And these truths are outlined in your bulletin in the outline. And we're going to begin by the first subject, and that is the source of these gifts. And the first truth we must understand is that these spiritual gifts come from God's grace. God and his grace are the source of spiritual gifts. This is what Peter wrote in verse 10. He says, "As each of you has received a gift." In other words, he says, we have received them. We need to begin as we look at this subject by defining these gifts. They're really called spiritual gifts elsewhere. That's how we understand them. Spiritual because of the big S Spirit, the Holy Spirit who gives those gifts. Wayne Grudem gave a helpful definition in his commentary of spiritual gifts. And let me read that for you. "A spiritual gift is any talent or ability which is empowered by the Holy Spirit and enabled to be used in the ministry of the church." Let me read that again. "A spiritual gift is any talent or ability which is empowered by the Holy Spirit and able to be used in the ministry of the church." So these gifts that Peter is talking about are talents or abilities, not for our own agendas or our own goals and ambitions, but they're talents and abilities to do work of the church specifically. And these gifts have a supernatural source. They're not developed by going to college or trade school or being born with extra strength or something like that. Rather, these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit gives these gifts specifically to believers in the church. And they're given to be used in the ministry of the church and for the glory of God. We learn about those gifts and these gifts in other places, and a couple notable places to go and maybe read offline are Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There, Paul gave a summary list of the gifts that the Spirit gives to the people of God in the church. Now, the list that you find in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are really just a summary. Maybe you might use that. You might see them as a synecdoche, a part for the whole. The Lord really works in complex ways and gifts us in complex ways. But Paul enumerates those gifts so that we might just have an understanding of some of the main normative gifts that the Spirit gives to us. Now, some of the gifts we find have ceased, and they ceased with the close of Scripture. We know these as the gift of prophecy, miracles, healing, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All of those have ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture. But the other gifts that we find in these lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, they're still active in the current church. They include things like service, teaching, exhortation or preaching, giving, generosity, leadership, mercy, administration, and helping. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul listed some formal official gifts. We call these the officers of the church. And really here in this list of officers, we see some extraordinary officers who are the apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And then the ordinary officers or the abiding officers that Christ still has. And those are pastors and teachers. And these are gifts to the church. And each gift that the Spirit of Christ gives is given for the purpose of serving Christ in the welfare and the expanse of the church. That's just a quick definition of these gifts that Peter says each one of us has received. Well, let's consider a couple more things about these gifts from God. When Peter taught about these gifts in verse 10, he emphasized that each believer has received a gift from God. Each of us has received a gift from God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is active in each believer in the church. That means no one is left out. Every believer is necessary. And that's important to remember. If you just seem insignificant, you're not. Because the Spirit of Christ gives gifts to each member so that we might work together for His glory. God gives gifts to serve Him, and He gives gifts to each of us that we might serve Him. And these gifts and abilities, we have to remember that they come from God. Christ gives these gifts through His Spirit. So we cannot claim credit for the ability to perform some service in the church. And really, that's a temptation that we have. Pastors often speak about my church or my ministry, or other people say, look for their own ministry, or they think about what, and we often think about what we have done. But we need to realize that the ability to do that was a grace from God. That ability came from God. We cannot determine to take a gift of our choosing. God gives these gifts to us. And if you want to see some case studies of people who determined to take a gift for our choosing, remember the sermon from a couple of Lord's Day evenings ago? The sons of Sceva, I believe in Acts 19. They wanted that gift of healing and exorcism. Or think about Korah or others who rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the book of Numbers. It didn't go well for them because God gives gifts to us. This truth must humble each of us. There's a temptation to think that we're special because of our service in the church or our gifts and our talents. And sometimes there's a temptation to think that we're better than others who have different gifts. Other times we take pride in our gifts as if we deserve some esteem because of what we can do. Actually, what's interesting and 1 Corinthians 12, as Paul discusses gifts, he says, actually, the less important gifts are given greater external honor. And so if you think that you have an external gift and service in the church, it's not the external honor that you get is not necessarily commensurate with the need of that gift. We can't take pride in what we do because the ability to do what we do, the ability to serve the Lord, comes from the Lord Himself. These thoughts are wrong. This pride, this thinking better than others is wrong if we have that in our hearts. We could do nothing in the church unless Christ gives us the ability to do it. And that's why we sing Psalm 127. That the Spirit of God might place those words on our lips so that we'd remember, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Our hands simply carry out the work of Christ's hands in the church and in the world. And the Lord works in every one of us according to His goodwill and good pleasure. At the end of verse 10, Peter revealed another truth about these gifts that God gives. And really, it's a little bit more insight into the source. Look at what he said. As good stewards of God's varied grace. These gifts come from God's varied grace. The word varied reveals that God gives different people different gifts in the church. Christ does not equip everyone to perform every function in the church. There is often, especially in evangelicalism today, this tendency toward egalitarianism that everyone can do everything in the church. But actually, Peter right here says that's not true. God gives varied gifts, different gifts to different people, and they are given according to His grace. And if you think about it, if everyone had the same gift, we would not be able to function as a body. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul taught about this truth. He taught that a body consists of many members. Therefore, the church of Christ consists of many members. He wrote in verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body." We need to take from this a truth that every part of the church is necessary. Every gift that God gives to His people is necessary. And so the Spirit of God gives different gifts to each of us. Some need to be, are given gifts to speak. Some in ruling, as a ruling elders, others in giving, others in encouragement, others in mercy ministry. And without all of the diverse gifts that Christ gives to the church, we would not be able to function. Some people want to do everything in the church, but the church doesn't work that way. The Lord gives each of us gifts that are unique for the work that He has ordained to do through us. And so we must be thankful for the gifts that we have, and we must embrace the diversity among the members of the church, because without each different gift, we would not be the church. And just think of a piano. Imagine if you went into someone's living room, or went to see you for Faculty Tuesday, and the pianist shows up and he has this beautiful grand piano. And he looks at the keys, and all of the keys are middle C. What would happen? It would be pretty annoying. It was just a constant tone the whole time. You'd have to sit there for 45 minutes listening to him play that same note. He might as well take drums out. But you see, a piano, and I don't know how many keys are on a piano, but a piano has many keys. And it has keys for every note in the scale, and every chromatic note. And it has octave upon octave upon octave. And then whenever each of those different tones and frequencies are played together, what you get is a beautiful score of music. And the church works the same way. God gives each of us different gifts and causes us to work together as His hands and feet to do His glorious work in the church. The second thing we need to remember, though, from this phrase that we're to be good stewards of God's varied grace, is that these gifts we are given are given by God's grace. We can't go through a buffet line and say, "I want this or this, and I want that. I don't want the broccoli. I want the candied yams," or something like that, in terms of gifts. But rather, God gives these gifts. God, by His sovereign grace, gives them to us. And Paul taught the same truth in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. He wrote, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts." So as sinners, we need to be humble and remember that we don't deserve the spiritual gifts that Christ gave us. We do not deserve to serve Him. We do not deserve to do anything for Christ because of our sin. All we deserve is His wrath. But according to His grace, He uses us for His glory. And so He gives gifts to us according to His will, not according to who we are. If He were to give anything to us according to who we are, it would be hell. It would be His wrath. But thanks be to God for the wonderful grace that He shows to us. And so we must receive these gifts, as Paul taught, with humility and with thankfulness. And listen to Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians 15. As he comprehends that the spiritual gifts that he received for the work of the apostolic ministry were gifts given to him by God's grace. He wrote, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, Christ has also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me." Paul said to Timothy, "Look to me." He said to the church, "Look to me and follow my example." And we are to follow this example. We are to realize that the gifts that God gives us for service in His church come from His grace. And so we need to acknowledge that humbly and not be puffed up. And we need to be thankful for whatever opportunity He gives us to serve. Well, let's consider the second truth about the gifts that God gives. And that truth would be summarized under the category of the purpose of the gifts. Okay, the purpose. We need to ask why God gives us spiritual gifts. And the answer is found in verse 10. Again, which is where we're going to focus. Peter wrote, "As each has received a gift," and this is what we need to focus on, "use it to serve one another." Spiritual gifts are given to serve one another. The spiritual gifts we have, the ones we've received, are not about us. They're not for us. God does not give these gifts so that we might earn prestige. He does not give them to us for the purpose of our own ambitions or goals. Christ gives us gifts so that we may serve one another. And so spiritual gifts are for the benefit of other people in the church. How do you think about your gifts and your talents? Many people seek self-fulfillment in finding and using their spiritual gifts. They want to know their ministry. Some want to know their gifts to establish their identity and be able to say, "This is my job in the church," or "I am a something." But spiritual gifts are not about our personal identity. They're not about us at all, quite frankly. Christ gives us gifts for the purpose of serving others. And if you want to see an example, take Christ as an example. He came in the flesh. God gave Him that gift and calling to be the Messiah. And so He came in the flesh entirely to serve the Father and to serve us with His obedience and with His death on the cross. And now this Christ, who is our example, gives us gifts so that we might follow in His footsteps. And so we must look for our spiritual gifts in order to serve one another in the church. If you have an office in the church, you've not received that spiritual gift to put it on your resume or think I'm a deacon or elder or pastor. Rather, you must remember that the office you've been given has come by God's grace. And you must think about how you can serve Christ and His church. You're placed in that official work to serve others. Gifts are granted for the purpose of serving the church. And so however Christ has graciously gifted you, whether officially or informally, always focus on how you can serve others with that gift, because they're not given for you. In other words, think about spiritual gifts as gifts given for other people in the church. In essence, you are a gift to other people in the church. Your talent, your mercy, your administration, your exegetical and preaching ability, whatever your gift may be, it's not for you. Rather, that gift is a gift to other people in the church. And so remember that and use your gifts to serve others. And we must stop to consider a secondary application before we move on to our third point. And that is that we need each other's gifts. We need each other's gifts. Some of us struggle to admit that we need help. It's very hard for people to ask for help and to let other people in the church do things for us. But we must all face the truth that we cannot do everything. And no one can be good at everything. And even if you hypothetically could be good at everything, we don't have the time or the energy to do everything. And as a result, we need each other. That's why Christ has bound us together. He's bound us together so that we might serve one another. And so if Peter is correct, and maybe that's an uncareful way to speak, because he is correct, because this is the inerrant word of God, then we must let others serve us. We must let others use their gifts to help us and to do the work of the church. At times we must ask for help, and we must let others serve us. And this is a discipline. It takes humility. It's oftentimes a big piece of humble pie that the Lord places before us to eat. And we want to do things ourselves, especially in America, where our ethos is to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just make our way in the world, because we don't need anyone. We're independent. But you see, the ethos of our culture and our mindset in America, it's a stumbling block for our function in the church. This discipline takes humility, but we need to seek God's grace and His Spirit to humble us and to allow us to receive the sweet gifts that Christ gives to us in the church. Spiritual gifts come from God's grace. Spiritual gifts are given for the purpose to serve one another. And thirdly, let's consider their responsibility. Our responsibility. When Christ gives us spiritual gifts, He gives us a responsibility. And God gives us gifts to be used. If you're filling in the blanks, I just gave you the answer. Gifts are a responsibility. They're given to us to be used. Not to be set in a corner or to set on a stand where you dust and polish and put it on display. Rather, they're given to us to use. Peter closed this sentence in verse 10, writing, as good stewards of God's varied grace. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Thomas Schreiner wrote, spiritual gifts are not fundamentally a privilege, but a responsibility, a call to be faithful to what God has bestowed. We need to ask ourselves how we think about spiritual gifts. Do you see your gifts as privileges or responsibilities? A privilege implies that you have the option to use your gifts. A responsibility implies that you are required to use your gifts. And the Bible teaches that our gifts are responsibilities. Actually, Peter teaches that right here. He says we must be stewards of the gifts that Christ has given to us. And so think about your gift as property of Christ. And know that He gives us these gifts so that we can serve as His hands in the church. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul wrote, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." So when Christ gives us gifts, He actually gives us a responsibility, and we must use those. And think back to those times that you have read through the Gospels. How many times does Christ have a parable of the kingdom of God where He talks about the stewards? We refer to the virgins that were the 10 virgins who were supposed to be ready for His return last week. Well, there are other parables about folks that are to be ready and be faithful with what God has given to them. The parable of the talents in Luke chapter 12, Christ specifically calls us to be ready and laboring in the work that He has given to us. He taught, just like Paul, that we have a responsibility to be faithful stewards of what God gives to us. We're not to be like that one servant who took the one coin from his master and buried it, and when his master returned, brought it back out polished, but didn't make any profit. Rather, we're to take those gifts that God gives, whatever in whatever measure He gives to us, and we're to use them for His purpose. Today in the age when we are waiting for Christ's return, we must be faithful to use these gifts God has given so that we might be found as approved by Him. Using our gifts is not an option. Christ has given us a responsibility when He gives us gifts. Now, it's not easy to serve Christ. And we pay a price for serving Him in the church. It is hard work. Using our gifts, serving Christ in the church, is physically demanding and quite often emotionally draining. And this service, it will cost us time. It will cost us money. And sometimes we just don't feel like serving. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we feel inadequate. But none of that matters. Because Christ requires us to serve Him according to our gifts. And it doesn't matter how you feel. R.C. Sproul once shared that he has faced seasons of discouragement. Now, as a struggling pastor trying to preach and having guys like R.C. Sproul, these amazing communicators, I can't imagine that he'd be discouraged. But he confessed that he struggles with seasons of discouragement, and he's wanted to quit teaching and preaching. And in those times, Christ has used his wife to remind him of Paul's command in Romans 12. Because in Romans 12, when Paul talked about a gift, he said, "Having gifts, let us use them." And Sproul has listened to his wife, and in particular, he's listened to the scripture, and he wrote in response how we should deal with those times of discouragement, how we should deal with the spiritual gifts God gives to us. He wrote, "If the Lord has gifted you to teach, you had better teach. If He's gifted you to preach, you had better preach. If He's gifted you to give, you had better give. If He's gifted you to serve Him in any way in the church, you had better do that. Because Christ, your King, the one who laid down His life to redeem you from sin, has called you to that work." Dr. Sproul simply repeated Christ's message. We have a responsibility to serve and to use the gifts Christ gives us, regardless of how we feel about it. If you don't serve Christ as He has gifted you, you need to realize that the whole church will suffer. The whole church will suffer just like a body suffers when just one organ does not work properly. Have you ever gotten one of those split fingers in the wintertime? And like your thumb, when it just breaks open, it's funny. It's such a small thing, but it hurts and it transforms your whole life. Or maybe me, because I have a low pain threshold. But if your appendix is tweaked, it messes up your life. If your earlobe is swollen, you won't be able to think with the throbbing of the pain. If small organs like a pancreas swell and explode, you die. And likewise, if you don't serve as the part of the body of Christ that Christ has made you, the whole body is going to suffer. Christ gives us gifts to be used. And when we are faithful stewards of them, Christ blesses his church. And we work and function as a complete body. In conclusion, I want to consider the subject of the results. What is the result of being given these spiritual gifts? The result is that we've been given gifts to glorify God. Look down at verse 11. Peter wrote that we must serve the Lord with the strength that he supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ with our service. He wrote that God may be glorified through Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our spiritual service should result in great doxology and praise to the Lord. We bring glory to God as we serve him, because our service demonstrates God's grace in the life of a sinner. Without Jesus Christ and his work of redemption, there's no way that we could serve him. Without Christ's resurrection and ascension, the Spirit of Christ would not be sent to gift us. Without the saving grace of God, we would no longer serve him. Without his Spirit, we would not be able to serve him. But in fact, what happens in these last days is that Christ takes broken sinners to be his own. He redeems us from his sin and he binds us together and into this body of people that are called the church. And he gives us grace to do his work. And that is how the church functions. And when we function and work according to the grace of God and the capacity and the functions and offices that he gives us, God is glorified. Because Christ does the impossible with his Spirit in us and through us. And so we must serve him according to the strength that he supplies. And trust that God gives grace to each of us to serve him and to serve one another for his glory. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that your Spirit might work in us in a great way. You know the needs that we have in our congregation and that are in the greater church. And so we pray that your Spirit might give us gifts according to your very grace to do your work. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. We pray that you would humble us to work not in our own strength, but according to your grace. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to mature us into a body that functions as you have intended, that functions out of the grace of God in Christ, and that the whole world might see us loving one another, serving one another, reaching out to the lost, and that we might be a witness of Christ that would draw people to you, that one day the whole world will bow the knee and recognize Christ and lift up their voices with us in praise to you, our God and Father, and to your Son, and to your powerful Spirit who is operating in us. Amen.